Thank you, thank you. I could go home right now. Anybody else? You just feel full already? The Holy Spirit's kind of filled our tank a little bit, so that's always a good thing. It's good to be home. Thank you for your prayers while I was gone in India. I have to tell you, it was the smoothest missionary trip I've ever been on because Jesus went before us everywhere we went. It was incredible. So thank you for your prayers and for your support, helping us to do what God's called us to do. And I was those young men 50 years ago at Life Bible College. Anybody else you can relate? Just worshiping the Lord, having every opportunity to just say, Lord, thank you for the opportunity to serve you in any way, any capacity that we can. So just a brief testimony of my trip to India, because that's not why I'm here tonight. But I just have to share that we graduated our first Bible college class. And that night, they left on trains to go back to Madhya Pradesh, which is in the north central part of India, where the persecution, as I told you on that Sunday that I was here, is really, really bad. I was supposed to go the following week up there to open up our new Bible college up in Madhya Pradesh. It's going to be kind of undercover. It doesn't have a sign on any walls where anybody can identify, but we have 43 students in the heart of the hardest radical Hindu place of the whole nation. 43 Bible college students that are getting trained to plant churches. So that's one of my new tasks. So I couldn't go there. It wasn't safe for me. So instead, I routed over to our other Bible college class that we started over on the East Coast in what used to be called Madras. And now it's a place where we have another 22 Bible college students. So we went from a small class, to now my hands are both full. I'm using my fingers and my toes and everything else to just keep track of all of what God is doing. So I know it's not anything that we humanly have done other than just be obedient. And God's doing the miracles. Amen. And opening up places for the gospel to be preached. And you're a part of that. And so thank you. And that's all I'm going to say about that. All right? Because that's not why I'm here. I have a word the Lord gave when I was asked to speak at the conference this year. What an honor. Thank you for asking. And then it's like, well, what do you want to call the conference? And I was like, I don't know. Let me pray about it. I'll get back to you. You know? And then I heard the Lord say it's about being real men. Amen. How many of you know we live in a culture that is very confused about what a man is? Anybody? Yep. And it seems to be rapidly changing depending on who you're listening to, what you're watching, and so on. And I felt like the Lord was saying to us, my word dictates what a man is. And so we're going to go to the Word. Is that okay? I did create a little handout, and if you know me at all, handouts are not my thing, because I never know where the sermon's going to go. So this may or may not be what I say. But I'll give it my best shot, okay? So I know in this church we're used to filling in pastor's notes, but I'll do the best I can. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 and 14 from the New American Standard Bible says this: Be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. Now, I couldn't get a more, I couldn't find a more appropriate verse to talk to us about tonight. We live in a world that is full of distractions and temptations and false ideas about what it means to be a man. We really do. Now, we know from a biblical standpoint that we're made in the image of God. We were created that way. We have a responsibilities, God-given. They're in the scripture, to lead and to provide and to act with moral integrity. That's how God created us to live. But I've been in other parts of the world. How many of you have been in other parts of the world? And in other cultures and other religious systems, they have a whole different idea of what a man should be or what a man can do. And a lot of it's dictated by what you do, the duties that you have, the actions. But here in our culture, in the United States of America specifically, we have had movements since the early 60s that have blurred the lines of what a man should be. It's a big topic of discussion. But I want you to know that God is calling us to stand firm. That's what the scripture says. It says, pay attention. Can I just paraphrase, be on the alert? It means pay attention to the culture and what's being done, what's being said, how the enemy of our soul is attacking the very nature that God created us in. We're created in his image. And the attack of the enemy of our soul is to attack the image of God. It's not even about you. Sorry. It's about God in you. That's what the attack is. And so the writer here, Paul writes, and he says, you have to pay attention to the spiritual warfare that is going on around you. You have to be alert about it. Which means that we can't be sleepy, guys. How many like to take a good nap? Anybody? We're of the age. Some of us are of the age where I used to tease my dad about having to take a nap, you know, after he had had a long day's work, and he would say, just leave me alone for an hour. Anybody? You know what I'm talking about? Just leave me alone for an hour. And I used to say, come on, Dad, let's go throw the ball, right? Let's go shoot hoops. No, just leave me alone for an hour. Now I'm that guy, right? I'm grandpa, so I need the hour. So RJ and Ethan, just hold off for an hour. Go play with Grammy, you know. Come back in an hour and we'll have some energy for you. Sometimes spiritually we get a little sleepy. And I think part of it is because we are always in a battle. We are always being drawn one way or another. We're always having to face words and images that want to snooze us down spiritually. And we can't be sleepy about this. And so Paul writes to the church in Corinth, and he says to them, pay attention. And he says it multiple times. If you read the writings of Paul, he's always saying, pay attention, pay attention. Sounds like my teacher at school back in the day. Anybody? Bob, pay attention. And Paul says to us through the scripture, men, we got to pay attention. We have to be those who are alert to what's going on around us and stand firm in the faith. Stand firm. Don't be wishy-washy. I noticed that in our current culture, whoever has the loudest voice seems to get the most of it, most attention, and they are able to sway people's opinions. And so people begin living their lives based on the opinion that's the loudest and not necessarily the best. And certainly not God. Have you noticed that too, or is it just me? It just seems that way. And so we have people who don't know the scriptures enough to stand on them in the first place. There's some level of ignorance. And then there, secondly, we are swayed by popular opinion rather than the word of God being able to stand firm on it. Paul reminds us we have to decide ahead of whatever we face that we're going to stand. Whatever comes, we're standing. We just determine that ahead of time. How many were Boy Scouts? Anybody? Boy Scouts? What's the Boy Scout motto? Huh? Be prepared. What does that mean? It means that you have thought through, you have prepared, you have stuff to go through anything that comes. Is that right? Am I right? And that is our stance as men. Are we prepared? Are we ready? Are we able to act like men? Now, there's nowhere else in Scripture where you can find that phrase, by the way. This is it. Act like men. Why would he write that? He's basically saying the way that you have been designed by our Creator, that's who you are. That's who he made us to be. And that's how we should live. And actually, in the original language, it talks about mature men. If that means that we've gone through something. We've gone through a bunch of somethings. And we have some experience. We have some things that we've gone through that allow us to stand strong and to be ready to lead our families, our communities, and our nation. God is calling us, brothers, to rise up as real men. But I want to add a second part of this. Not just real men, like somehow we could justify it from a world standpoint. But he's calling us to live as real, spirit-filled men. This is a Foursquare church, am I right? And last I checked, Foursquare Church is a Pentecostal denomination. Am I right? Anybody know that? You've seen that? Which means that we believe in the infilling, baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
Is that right? So God is calling us not to be defined by a culture outside, not to be men that are chasing things, but men filled with the Holy Spirit, walking in the power, purpose, and holiness of God. That's a challenge. I think that's a big challenge, don't you? Especially if you're trying to do it in your own strength, which many people try to do. We have to be a people, a group of men, who need the Holy Spirit to be with us every single day so we can be who God has called us to be and we can do what God has called us to do. As I was thinking about our goal for tonight, I was thinking, wouldn't it be great if at the end, when we're finished tonight, we had come through some thoughts that says, I need a fresh work of the Holy Spirit in my life. And I don't know how long you've been saved. It doesn't really matter. All of us need a fresh move of the Holy Spirit in our lives every day. Every day. Wouldn't it be great is at the end of a long Friday that we would be able to say, Lord, come work a fresh work in me. In the book of Acts chapter 1, verse 8, there's a verse of scripture you know very well. It says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. You see, that's the mark of a real godly man, a life that is transformed and empowered by the Spirit of God. What does it mean to be a real spirit-filled godly man? Well, I have good news for you. It's not about perfection. Just ask your wife. It's not about perfection. It's about pursuit. What are you pursuing? Who are you pursuing? It's about surrendering to God and letting the Holy Spirit lead us, living out His calling on our lives in every area of our life. And so tonight I'm going to try and help us by giving us three key marks of a Spirit-filled, godly man who's rooted in Scripture. And hopefully it helps us to walk through the days ahead that are a part of our lives. So here's point number one. Hey, so far I'm keeping to the outline. How am I doing? Okay? Point one, a Spirit-filled godly man lives in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. Do you know that verse? And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. How many think that the whole emphasis of that verse is about tongues? It's not. Tongues were the result of something far greater than just tongues. What was the greater thing than just tongues? To be filled with the Spirit. Nobody on earth had received that. If you read the Old Testament, there were just a couple of people who had the Holy Spirit on the inside. It would always says that the Holy Spirit came upon them, right? That's a visitation. Now it's not about visitation, it's about occupation. Acts chapter 2 is about God saying, okay, it's time for me to take over. There we go. I'm not just going to visit with my power. I'm going to now live. I'm going to occupy the new temple. That's right. And that's us. That's right. Look at your neighbor and say, you're a temple. Go ahead, just tell him. You're a temple. You're a temple. Now, some of us are more ornate than others. But we're a temple of the Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, the disciples weren't just sitting around. They weren't just having coffee. They were seeking something that they didn't know what was going to happen. Jesus said, just wait until the Spirit comes. Well, what does that sound like? What does that look like? I don't know. Nobody knew. All they knew is that they're waiting for whatever it was that they needed to be able to live the way God wanted them to live in that generation and in the generations to come. That the church that had been breathed into being in the upper room with Jesus breathing on them now is going to come alive. Instead of just Jesus breathing on them, now there's a new breath that is coming, and it's the breath of the Spirit of God that is coming inside of them to empower them to be the men and women that God created them to be. You and I cannot live as real godly men in this world without the Holy Spirit's presence and power. We cannot. It's not about following a list of do's and don'ts, rules and regulations with the church. It is about a living relationship with the very presence and power of God in our lives. It began on the day of Pentecost. It's never ceased since. It's here. He's here. These disciples, they weren't just sitting around. They were waiting. And their waiting was in anticipation of, we don't know what's going to happen, but we know it's going to be good because Jesus said, wait. And Jesus always does something good. And that filling changed everything. A godly man seeks that same filling today. The Holy Spirit isn't just a one-time experience. The Holy Spirit in our life in the Spirit is a daily surrender. Seeking, us praying, seeking the Spirit's presence, seeking the Spirit's power. We ask and we pray and we say, Lord, fill me afresh today. Let it be a fresh anointing. You see, every day, we cannot live on yesterday's anointing. Yesterday's anointing was for yesterday. Today's anointing is for today, and tomorrow when you wake up, Lord, give me a fresh anointing for today. Are you hearing me?
Amen.
It's fresh. That's how we live as godly, spirit-filled men. We're asking for God a fresh anointing every single day because it's the Spirit that empowers us to live in this generation. It's the Spirit that empowers us to overcome temptation that comes. It's the Spirit that enables us to speak boldly for Christ. It's the Spirit that enables us to walk in spiritual gifts that we desperately need in our lives these days, like discernment, like being able to speak prophetic words, like believing for healing. It takes the Spirit of God and a fresh anointing for us to be the hands and feet and voice of Jesus in our own lives, the lives of our family, and in our generation. Here's the challenge for us, guys. Is what we have been trained to be independent. I remember growing up, my dad would always say, "You can do that. You can do that. You don't need me to do that. You can do that." Anybody else's parents kind of like pushed you towards independence? You're a big boy now. I don't feel like a big boy right now, right? And we're trained to be self-reliant. I'm still not good at that. I still have a struggle with asking for help. Anybody else? I can do this. I'll figure it out a way. So you like bend over backwards to just rely on your own strength. And we do that in the natural, but here's the kicker, is that that carries over into the spiritual. We're trained to be self-reliant. And life in the Spirit is actually the opposite of that. We are dependent on the Holy Spirit's daily work in our lives. We need Jesus. We need Jesus. We need the Holy Spirit. Without Him, what does the scripture say? I can do. We say it, we can quote it, but we don't do it. I'm just being brutally honest. Is that okay? You like a little brutality for last thing in the day? A little honesty? It sounds really Christian to say, yeah, I can do nothing. But when the rubber meets the road, we try to do it by ourselves. The biggest challenge for us as we're maturing in Jesus is for us to let go and let God. When you're filled with the Spirit of God, you find that you are not relying on your own strength anymore. You are leaning on the Holy Spirit. You are whispering prayers all day long. When you're filled with the Spirit of God, you walk different. You talk different. You pray different. You live with a fire inside of you that nothing that the world can put out when you have that fresh anointing. I think about good old Peter. He's one of my favorite characters because sometimes I see myself in him. Always sit putting foot in mouth. Anybody ever had that disease? They have a cure for it now, but back, you know, when I was younger man, I had that disease. And that's horrible for a pastor to have. I'm just telling you, foot and mouth disease as a pastor is horrible. You're repenting to everybody for saying dumb stuff. And, Ryan's listening to you. Sorry. But there is this understanding that Peter had and then didn't have. He had lots of big words. He made lots of declarations. If everybody abandoned you, what does Peter say? If everybody abandoned you, I won't. I'll die for you. A little girl comes along at a campfire. You know the story. You've read the Gospels. And she said, aren't you with, Jesus? No. Right? Three times. And the last one, he swears. Cock, rooster crows. What happened to Peter's heart in that moment? Big words, not strong faith. But Jesus saw something in Peter. Jesus knew that there would be a moment not too long since that moment when the Spirit of God would come into that man and change everything. Old Peter went from denying Jesus to preaching at Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit filled him with a boldness that he didn't have before. 3,000 souls are saved because he obeyed the Spirit's leading. He had an anointing that he never had before because he waited for the Spirit to come. A Spirit-filled man steps out in faith and obeys God's command, and everything changes. The same Spirit that transformed Peter is in you and me. He's transforming us. Let him transform you. Surrender. It's hard sometimes. That's why we need to start every day with a focus that says, Lord, I need you today. I need you today. Spirit, come. If you haven't ever received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, this is the right place to be. Amen. Because we believe that God fills us. Yeah. Just ask. And if you need someone to pray with you, oh, we're here and pray with you. Point two. Are we on track? Point two. A Spirit-filled godly man pursues holiness and integrity. I'm going to warn you ahead of time. Hopefully it won't dissuade you from coming tomorrow. But I want to talk about integrity and vulnerability tomorrow. Don't stay home. I promise it'll be helpful. Okay? But let me start the conversation with this point. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one, anybody see that? Without which no one will see the Lord. Gentlemen, holiness is not optional. It's not part-time. It's not a church only. It is an all-time, at all times, way that we live, holy, without which we cannot see God. Now, holiness in God's eyes is perfection, but he knows that we are frail. And so he calls us to a standard of holiness, but a progression in our holiness. We call it sanctification. Anybody heard that word before? We are being made whole. It's not optional. A Spirit-filled man can never be confused with a fleshly man. What do I mean by that? A Spirit-filled man has a whole different way of living, a whole different standard of living according to God's word that can never be confused with the way that the world lives. The world has a philosophy of living that is contrary to the way that God calls us to live. I love reading the Apostle Paul, who says, the things that I don't want to do, I keep doing them. And the things that I want to do, I can't seem to get that done. Anybody can relate to the Apostle Paul? It's like, I did it again. Anybody ever say those words? Like just last week, I think I was there. I didn't want to think that anymore. I didn't want to say that anymore. I didn't want to have that attitude anymore. I know better. I've preached that, and now I'm having to live it myself. That's a pretty good deal, huh? A standard of holiness. Again, he's not looking for perfection. He's looking for a process in us that the Holy Spirit is transforming us. We don't have to do it. If it was up to us, we could just make ourselves a list of rules and regulations and say, okay, I can do this, but I can't do that. I can think this, but I can't think that. And it's legalism. And God didn't call us to legalism. He called us to freedom in the Spirit. Because we don't have to try and make us perfect. He makes us perfect.
That's right.
He calls us a holy nation, even when we don't feel holy. And that's us. Pursuing holiness, not already achieved it. A spirit-filled man, he stands out. Because he guards his heart, he guards his eyes, he guards his words. He lives with integrity, keeping his promises, whether it's to his wife, his kids, or his church. Here's the challenge for us, men. Is our world system that we live in will tempt us to always compromise. Always. Just slide on that a little bit. Oh, it's okay. It'll be okay. Just compromise a little bit. Right? It's like being mostly dead. You know, just compromise a little bit. God's not called us to do that. We're not called to compromise. It's a temptation for us. It's okay for somebody to say, well, you know, you cut those corners a little bit at work. It'll be okay. Nobody will know if you do that or if you look at that or you go that way. Nobody will know. But a godly man says, I'm called to be holy as he is holy. And the Spirit gives us strength to say the most important two-letter word in the English dictionary. Do you know what it is? No. It's the most important word that you and I have in our journey of holiness. Because when the tempter comes to tempt us, what do we say? No. Is that a big revelation? You mean we don't have to have some big battle plan? No. Just say no. It's simple. God knows we need it to be simple. Just say no. But you have to have something to back up your no. Because we will find a way to say no, but. Are you hearing me? No, but. That's called compromise. But is a compromise. No. Period. We say no to the enemy. We say yes to God. That's our choices. It sounds really simple, but without the power of the Holy Spirit in you, you won't even say no in the first place. And if you say no, there will always be a but, because your flesh is your flesh. We need the Holy Spirit to give us the strength to say no to sin and yes to righteousness. And when you and I stumble, and we all do, the Spirit is the one who convicts us to repent and to get back on track. Amen? Somebody was teaching not too long ago that you only need to repent once. After that, you don't have to ever repent again. You know that teaching was going around in the body of Christ? You only need to repent once. God's grace is enough. Well, God's grace is enough. But if you sin, you need to repent, yeah? If you do something contrary to the will of your wife, you better repent, or you're sleeping on the couch. Anybody know what I'm talking about here? It's like, don't confess that. Don't confess that. We'll just let that go. If you sin against your spouse, you better be repenting, or your relationship is in trouble. It's the same thing in our spiritual walk. The Holy Spirit convicts us and says, Bob, that was not right. And your heart goes, you're right. And you got to go to the Father and say, Lord, I need your grace. I need your mercy. Lord, cleanse me. Heal me. Lord, mature that in me. Let me see it quicker next time. Let my mouth be silent. Let me be biblical in the way I'm approaching the people around me, that I'm slow to speak. I'm quick to listen. I'm slow to anger. Lord, help me. Holy Spirit, help me. That's walking in holiness. That's walking in integrity. When we stumble, the Holy Spirit helps us. I think about David, the shepherd boy turned king, and he shows us very clearly that an imperfect man filled with a passion for God has the capacity to repent. Nobody in this room has ever committed adultery and murder in the same week, I don't think. But David did. And yet, because he was a man, an imperfect man who loved God, who worshiped God with everything that he had, even though he wasn't perfect, when he sinned and he was confronted by that sin, he had the integrity of heart to say, I have sinned before God and before you. He repented. And God says, that's a man after my own heart. Has he said that about anybody else? Well, not listed in Scripture, but I'm going to declare that to you tonight. As a Spirit-filled, godly man, you are a man after God's own heart. And even when we are imperfect, God comes and he brings his grace. He brings his mercy that it manifests in us, and he receives us and restores us back. That's our God. But you and I have to have the integrity of heart to go before the Lord and say, I have sinned before you. And we do sin, brothers. None of us sitting here tonight have not sinned. We sin. It's very clear in the Scripture. If you say that you haven't sinned, well, you sinned because you're a liar. God, instead, he calls us to this life of worship and integrity of our heart. A godly man gives his all, letting the Holy Spirit lead us to repent quickly and to live boldly. Sometimes we just have to examine our heart. Are there areas in our lives that we're compromising? Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal anything that's hindering your walk. I guarantee you, if you ask the Holy Spirit to reveal it, he will. Because he loves you that much. The second thing that I think is important is exactly what we're doing now. If we surround ourselves with godly brothers and let it be iron sharpening iron, that's a part of the process of letting God work in us. Last point, point three. A spirit-filled godly man leads with love and service. How many of you ever went to Sunday school back in the day? Anybody? Sunday school? If you never went to Sunday school when you were a kid, you missed out because they had flannel graphs. You know, pieces of paper that had felt on the back of them, and they'd stick it up and they'd tell the stories. Anybody know what I'm talking about? No. Okay, good. Well, one of the main things about Sunday school is Sunday school teachers would ask questions. And the answer always seemed the right answer. Even if you didn't know what the answer was, the right answer was always Jesus, right? Because the whole point of Sunday school was to talk about Jesus. And so they would ask questions, and if you didn't know, you'd raise your hand anyway, and you'd say, Jesus? And they would say, good answer, good answer. But not when we're talking about Moses in this case. But here's a Sunday school question for you. When you think of the ultimate godly man, who do you think of? Sunday school question. So the answer is? Jesus. See, look at you guys. You're awesome. Jesus. Ultimate, of course. Here's John 13, verses 14 through 15. This is after Jesus washes his disciples' feet. This is what he says. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Here is an important part of how we live for Jesus. We serve. That's the model. Whether you're a husband or a father or a son or a brother in this church, God calls you to lead with love and humility and sacrifice. But we don't do it in our own strength. That's the great thing. The Spirit empowers us to do these things. How many of you believe that you need the Spirit of God in order to love your wife the way she deserves to be loved? You need God's help for that? Anybody need God's help to love your wife? How about your kids? You have a new baby? You're going to need Jesus' help. I'm just warning you right now, my youngest is up there, and you need Jesus' help. It's true. Every relationship, you need Jesus' help. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. We are called to serve. God empowers us to do and lead the way the Word says, to guide our children with patience and wisdom, to love our wives as Christ loved the church. He calls you to serve in this house. Whether it's praying for the sick, or it's helping to clean, or it's ushering, whether it's sharing the gospel on the street, whatever it may be. We don't wait to be served. We serve. We look for ways to serve. And when you and I serve, the Holy Spirit multiplies your impact on the kingdom. When you choose to follow the model of Christ, it multiplies. Whatever you do, do everything for the glory of God. Isn't that what the scripture says? So when you do things for the glory of God, God has a way of saying, oh, let's magnify that. Let's multiply that. Loaves and fishes? Yeah, we can do that. Kids, people coming to the kingdom? Because you're sharing? Yeah, let's multiply that because the next generation and the next generation and the next generation. When you share one time in obedience to the Holy Spirit's prompting, you don't know whose life you changed three generations from now, should the Lord tarry. You don't know. We're just being obedient here, being obedient now. But that life changed will change another life. It'll change another life. That's really why I'm so excited about what God's called me to do in Asia. Because I'm training up people. There could be millions come into the kingdom because of simple obedience. Has nothing to do with me other than saying yes. It's the Holy Spirit. So I want to encourage you tonight as I get ready to close. Not yet. I have three closings, but this is the first one. I want to encourage you. Find ways to say yes to the Holy Spirit's prompting to serve. Because when you and I serve, the kingdom multiplies. I was thinking about the Apostle Paul. He's one of my favorites too. You remember that Paul was a persecutor of the church? He was very zealous for God. He loved God so much that he wanted to kill Christians. That sounds a little counterintuitive from this side of history. But to Paul, these people were blasphemers of mighty God. He just wanted to kill them. Round them up. What happened to Paul? Holy Spirit got a hold of him, didn't he? Jesus said, hey, Paul, what are you doing? And Paul became a spirit-led, spirit-filled servant who planted churches and prayed for miracles after miracles. And he lived on behalf of others in submission to God. That's you and me. He said, hey, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Well, I'm just doing what I now know that Christ taught me. I'm now doing what Christ taught me. I'm living in the way that he is leading me. And I'm going to serve. I'm serving God and I'm serving you. A godly man leads by serving, sacrificing for his family and for his church. But again, we can't do that without the Holy Spirit's empowerment. So maybe we have to ask ourselves some questions. Like, am I serving others? Or am I waiting to be served? If you're married, are you loving your wife sacrificially? If you're a father, this may sound counterintuitive maybe. Are you disciplining your kids? Because that's how you serve your kids. You discipline them. The father disciplines those whom he loves, yeah? In this church, are you doing what God calls you to do? Are you stepping up, stepping out? In boldness, let the Holy Spirit lead you. Serve. Serve, serve, serve. Serve with love and serve with a pure heart before the Lord. God is calling us to be real, spirit-filled, godly men who live in the power of the Holy Spirit, who pursue holiness and integrity that lead with love and sacrifice. We cannot be men who are ashamed to pray out loud. We cannot be men who are ashamed to worship out loud and boldly. We cannot be men who aren't willing to stand up for Jesus. And not just here in this building, but everywhere we go. Your family needs you. Your church needs you. The Holy Spirit's ready to empower you afresh and new. So I want to pray for us. I want to pray that God would just fill us afresh. And sometimes when we're praying for the Holy Spirit's freshness, we think that there has to be some big emotional response. And sometimes there is, but not always. Sometimes it is a work of your spirit deep on the inside. And if it comes out, awesome. But I one time prayed for this young man who said, I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I had walked through the scriptures with him. And he said, I said, is that something you're ready to do? To be filled with the Holy Spirit? To be baptized in the Holy Spirit? And we believe for the evidence of speaking in other tongues or some other one of the nine gifts manifesting just to affirm that, you know, you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit. And he says, yeah, I'm ready. It was so matter of fact. I was like, where's the emotion? You know, if I use the word nerd, that's not offensive, is it? This is like a really brainiac guy. He's very intellectual. And he says, no, I'm ready. I understand. It was very matter of fact. And so I just gently prayed, Lord, just fill my brother according to your word. You said if we ask, you would send the Holy Spirit. And so I prayed. I said, you have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit by faith. Now open your mouth and speak what the Holy Spirit gives you to say. Just that matter of fact, that simple. He opens his eyes as wide as I have ever seen anybody open their eyes. And he had thick glasses on, so it magnified. It looked like an owl. And I looked at him. He looked at me, and his eyes were so big. He says, I hear something in my head. Is that right? Is that normal? And I said, yeah, where else are you going to form words? It's in your head. But I think it's just me. I said, well, do you understand what it is that you're wanting to say? No. Then it isn't you. Well, what if it's the devil? No, he doesn't have that ability. Says, just speak out by faith what you're hearing in your head. And use your mouth, because that's what God's going to use. He said, okay, Pastor. And it just flowed. And you watch these big eyes get even bigger. And suddenly it was like a river dam burst. And it was like, all of this heavenly language was just an incredible thing. And I just got so happy. I started dancing around my desk. It was so funny. He was so full of the Holy Spirit. Life-changing. Not just an experience. That young man was never the same. Who had struggled with pornography, he had struggled with other sin issues in his life, and from that moment on, all of that was gone because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not suggesting that any of you need that kind of owl experience where God just does that to you, but I'm going to guess that all of us could use a refreshing from the Spirit of God tonight. And if you haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I'm just going to say the same thing I said to him. God will fill you if you ask. For the rest of us, I'm going to ask for a refilling for us. Would you stand with me, please? Father, thank you. Thank you for your Son who made a way for us to come and present ourselves before your throne. Jesus, thank you for being the mediator. Thank you for making a way where there was no way. And thank you for sending your Spirit. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are present here with us tonight. You are always present. But Lord, we sense your desire for a fresh anointing to fall on your men. And not just fall just tonight, but to overflow in their lives every day. Lord, we're not asking for just a moment experience. We're asking for a deep work of your Spirit inside of us, Lord. Lord, let your anointing flow. Let your presence manifest in us tonight. as we simply ask, Lord, fill us again. Fill us again. Fill us again with your Spirit, Lord God, as we lift our hearts in worship, as we cry out to you, Lord God, for a fresh move of your work in our lives, a fresh move of your Spirit in our lives, Lord. Fill us again, we pray, in the mighty name of Jesus. Would you just lift your voice in worship? That's always the best place to start, just in worship. And if you already have received your heavenly language, would you just begin to worship the Lord in your heavenly language? There is a refreshing that comes when we just lift our hearts and lift our voices to the Lord. Fresh anointing from you, Lord God. We need you, Lord Jesus. We need you, Lord Jesus. We give you thanks, Lord God. We give you thanks, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You are faithful, Lord. You are faithful. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Lord, your word tells us that you are the God who sees us. You are El Roy, the God who sees. And you see us tonight. We also know that because you see us, you also hear us. And you answer our prayers. So I thank you, Lord, as we leave this place tonight, we do in anticipation of the continuing work of your Spirit in us as we live as godly, real, godly, Spirit-filled men. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. Amen. Amen.